Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Unjaded for the Road Forward, where I am here in Cary, North Carolina at the AIS NRC conference with two of my favorite Cox Automotive leaders, Elizabeth Stegall and Matt Holling. So today we are going to run through our FIERCE measurement acronym. And so you're going to hear from a sales perspective from Elizabeth. She is in the dealership all day, every day with our clients. And she really sees and hears the pain points that they're dealing with. And then Matt runs our e-commerce business. And so I'm going to ask them as I go through the letters within FIERCE measurement to give their perspective through their lens of the things that should be top of mind for our dealer clients and our OEM clients to measure incremental success and to drive profits. So let's jump right in. Matt, I'm going to start with you. Our letter is F, and F is for future focus. What does that mean to you?
All right. Thanks, Jade. So when I think about future focus with the e-commerce lens, because that's what I'm living and breathing, like Jade said, the thing that I always think about is that there is a remarkable shift. Consumers are desiring transacting in this way. In fact, 75% of the two fastest growing car buyer segments say they want to buy online in the next 5 years. So we know there's going to continue to be this shift. And the more that you can do to make that a seamless experience for those consumers, the better. But we have to recognize that most transactions are not happening that way today. So we always want to think about what can we do to enable ourselves for the future, but at the same time, still provide benefit for where most of the transactions are happening today, which is that online to in-store hybrid. So what does it look like to kind of dip your toes in the water? How can you work to build trust, transparency, and confidence? And that's going to benefit all the different transaction types.
You got it. And this is not one size fits all for all consumers or dealerships. It's going to look different in its implementation and the processes based on your store. And so you really have to decide who you want to be and how you're going to get there. Elizabeth, what's future focus in your world?
So as much as dealers would love to think that consumer behavior isn't what drives how we do business, it is. And if you keep on the cusp of what your consumers are looking for and how they want to do business, and you evolve your business and your training for your staff to align with that, then you're much more likely to be relevant to them as we continue moving forward. You know, when consumers want to do things one way, try to accommodate them in that situation. If they're fine with doing things the way that you like doing things, that's great too. But you have to have that ebb and flow. You have to have your staff trained to give that confidence to the consumer on their entire journey while you are building what will be the future, because they really drive what the future will be. We just have to accommodate and make it happen.
Yep. And you got to bring your people along with you every step of the way. It's got to be why it matters to them, and they've got to be part of moving it forward. They are your change agents. So Elizabeth, I'm coming straight back to you with I for incrementality.
So in our world, you have to kind of make a decision as a dealer. If you're going to be a local dealer or a regional dealer, or even as much as a national dealer, you can be in a small town in North Carolina and you can sell to the entire country if you build a model that's built that way. When we only have so many consumers in a space that are in the market to buy a vehicle, really figuring out how to take your vehicles and give them that regional reach that allows you to have consumers that transact, whether in the store or online or a little bit of both, to be able to raise your market share, gives you an amazing opportunity to grow your dealership without having to hope that your backyard grows or the population where you are grows or the highway comes through, whatever the old mentality on how you could grow. Now you can choose how high you want that lever to go with how far you're willing to go out and how you build processes to bring those people back in to make them feel like you're doing business as if they're sitting in your showroom, whether they are there or somewhere else in the world, but they still want to buy your car from you.
And as we all know, e-commerce plays a critical role that. She gave you the lead in.
I was going to say, I'm not even going to say something different. I'm just going to build directly on what she said, because from an e-commerce perspective, it's absolutely everything that she just mentioned. So for us, what we see is almost 2/3 of the e-commerce transactions that we're getting are deliveries that are happening beyond the traditional market area of 65 miles. And when you start looking even further, we see almost 30% of our deliveries are 250 miles or more away. So it's exactly what we were just talking about, is that when you have this opportunity, this mechanism to drive that transaction outside of your area, it exposes you to not just other consumers, but it exposes you to other markets that might be better fits for the inventory that you have available.
Yes, right on. And you can increase profitability there too, where there are tools at your fingertips now where you can actually see what that vehicle would sell for and all of those other DMAs where you could potentially place it. And I think even some smart products that put the listing exactly where it should be for highest and best profitability. So I'm going to go back to Elizabeth. We are on efficiency, and efficiency could be one of a couple things. That can be expense management, that can be budget optimizations. How does that look in your world?
So I'm really going to speak to this from the dealer world and the interactions you have with people in our world, in the vendor ecosystem. The biggest piece of efficiency you can have is for the products you have, your software, your advertising, the tools you use to run your business. For those people to be able to have alignment with what they see as gaps or ways you can improve, and for that to efficiently be presented to you as a dealer in a way that your people, your employees, the people that you trust in running your business every day can take that information, dissect it, and execute on it at the store with a consistent view from what they see in inventory management or in pricing management or consumer eyeballs, taking all of that collectively together, consumer management, all of it, taking it together and coming up with a well-articulated plan that you can execute on. That's hard when those people don't talk to each other and each one of those is siloed. So I will recommend if you are in that space and you have those tools and the people that you have for performance management with those tools, if those people can collaborate either with you collectively or before they meet with you, that will allow those meetings to be so much more efficient in the store. So you can come up with key actionables to execute on to actually rise with this tide that we're speaking of today.
Yes, right on. All right, Matt.
Yeah, efficiency. So within the e-commerce space, efficiency is absolutely critical, especially within the transacting part of the process. For us, we are constantly working to figure out how we can make that process more seamless for the consumer. So big focus areas are going to be around what does it look like to drive efficiency and, quite frankly, automation within the financing process and the contracting process. Those are some of the biggest pieces, but it even goes beyond that. From financing perspective, we're always helping our retailers and our clients figure out through our AI and machine learning capability, which lenders to route to a credit application. And then from there, helping them figure out, hey, which one should we select for contracting based off of likelihood that a consumer is going to accept, profitability, all these other factors. And the same with contracting. We know that that is a long process. Consumers have told us, right, it takes a while. They love it to be faster. So how can we automate and really put the keys in the consumer's hand by helping, allowing them to manage the process of uploading all of their documents on their time, right? And then preparing the contract in a much more automated way, saving time for really valuable dealership resources.
Time is money, no doubt about it, which is our revenue streams, maximizing the ones you have and adding new ones. There's so many opportunities to add new revenue streams within both fixed and variable ops in today's ever-changing environment. And when we see so much margin compression on the front end of a lot of our transactions, as we are moving into the first buyer's market that we have seen in a long time, revenue streams are key. So Matt, I'm coming to you first on that one.
I'd love to, because it just builds right off what I was saying, which is when you have that efficiency for really valuable resources, it allows you to, one, either have them push more deals through because, you know, they're able to get done what they needed done faster. So, you know, it kind of goes back to that incrementality piece as well. Yeah. Additionally, you allow them to focus on, you know, one of the things that they do best, right, which is to sell
cars.
To sell. And so that efficiency of kind of cutting some pieces out of a more transactional part of the process and allowing them to really grow their revenue in other areas.
Yeah, it's a key piece too of reducing that rub between your e-commerce or your internet sales team and your floor sales team. When they understand that this is about incrementality and more deals for them, more minis, more commissions, whatever the pay plan may be, this is about everybody being able to do more with the same or less. It's not scary for their roles. It's not going to take away what they do. The dealership is a critical piece of the car business now and forevermore. We see it in all of the data. So, Elizabeth, I'm coming to you on revenue streams.
So my take on it is really to be fluid and to really think about that P&L as a bottom line document and not a box that each aspect needs to hit on each line item in a certain way. It shouldn't even be that way on every car. It should be how can we maximize the profitability of each car sold to get the volume of the car sold we need to keep them into service, to have that entire ecosystem of the profitability of the person, not just the car, the person that is buying the car from the beginning to the end, and looking at it in a fluid space where every deal is not structured the same. It has to do with the inventory. It has to do with the pricing structure, because when you keep those line items in a box, or you want that P&L to have one line item win, you tend to cause the bottom line to not be as high as it could be if you let that be fluid and infinitely grow.
So well said, which is our C, which is consumer experience and customer lifetime value, which you just hit on. So I'm going to start with Matt, sure. And then Elizabeth, if you want to add anything else on our C.
Yeah, sounds great. So from a consumer experience, I think we talked about how so many of our consumers are wanting to transact in this way, and we see it come through in our data, where we see that our consumers are rating this e-commerce experience as a 4.9 out of 5-star rate.
Love it.
With lots of reviews. So it kind of points to the fact that consumers have kind of signaled this is the way they want to buy, and when they're enabled with that experience, right, they are really becoming advocates and becoming promoters, right? And when you connect with them and leave them with that really positive experience, then, you know, that enables you to continue to get the word out and grow your business. So any opportunities to basically take those customers, we always say, Jade, and turn them into promoters based on that great experience that you have had.
Make your customers your cheerleaders every single time. That is your, without question, your bread and butter, not only in automotive, in any business. That is your most profitable deal. It is your lowest consumer acquisition cost, and it is your highest customer satisfaction. Elizabeth, anything you want to add?
So I implore back to when we started this conversation about having your people be trained for a culture that is conducive for the consumer experience to be what the consumers want, to meet the consumers where they want to transact, to allow the experience to be what they want it to be. Because when you do that, you then get to keep that person in your ecosystem. You let them talk about it to other people. You let them advocate for your business as they spoke on. But it really starts with consistent training in a process in stores, so that when I initiate my original contact with somebody in one experience, even it can be virtual, it can be your website, to the time I drive off, to the time I then get called for a review after I had service done, that I feel like everyone in your dealership breathes your culture and has the consistent desire to do right by me as your customer. So I will then do right by you as my dealership.
So well said. So to wrap it up, we're going to give Matt the last word with our E, which is e-commerce, right in his alley, Matt.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I could just go about anywhere with this one. But what I'd say, e-commerce across not just automotive, really e-commerce in general, it's all about building trust and giving consumers confidence that you're going to take care of them. So I want you to always think about, how can you do that two ways? One, how can you give them confidence in who they're buying from? And how can you give them confidence in what they're buying?
So well said, Elizabeth, e-commerce.
It's the way of the future. You know, we were just listening to them on the stage, some dealers earlier on the stage, and they were talking about whether it's the hybrid model, whether it's just because you don't want to spend as much time in the dealership. Don't think of e-commerce as somebody who wants to transact completely online. Think of e-commerce of where you can drop the ebb and flow of things being done ahead of time, so that when I do walk in your dealership, I have a wonderful experience and I feel like my needs are being met because of all the heavy lifting that was done before I walked in the door. That's e-commerce in whatever ecosystem you want to think about it.
Yes, right on. And assisted e-commerce, which means the consumer's reaching out when they want help or they want to talk to you or there's something that's keeping them from going to the next step. And then you let them go back and you let them do the things that they want to do online, self-guided at their own pace. That is what we see again and again that our consumers are asking for. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you all so much for being with us today in Cary, North Carolina. I'm Jade Terriberry, your host of Unjaded for the Road Forward, and we would love for you to subscribe so that you have access to all of the great bonus content like this today at b2b.autotrader.com/unjadedfortheroadforward. And as always, we are here with you to cut through the noise, because there is so much coming at all of our dealers and OEM partners all day, every day, but cut through the noise to drive real results for you.